actually, this is Build a Better Business, but we're talking about Zoom hackers today for a moment, because we've had a couple this morning. So I think this is important to actually put in the recording, because for those of you that are trying to build your business, if you're doing any of your meetings virtually, you will run into this at some point. And so we were just having that discussion. Today I have Sherry with me. I'm Kathy Benner. I'm the host. Sherry Daughter is my co-host, and Debbie is in our audience. And we've had a couple of Zoom hackers jump in, and they're here just for the effect of the shock effect. You know, they'll drop a question or a comment or something, and they're not really interested in the product or the service that we're offering. They're just bored this morning. So, and so anyway, we were just sharing how, if you are the host or a co-host, the co-host has all the same privileges as the host. And if you are the host or co-host, you can hover over any of your guest names in the participants. And when the more button comes up and you click on the more button, if you scroll to the bottom, there will be a place there that you can either put that person back into the waiting room, or you can remove them from the call, then you can even report them. And we were just having the discussion that to eliminate some of that, because I know the point is, a lot of times in your Zoom meetups, if you're having a masterclass or a 5-day challenge, you know, you're wanting that information because you want folks to jump in and join your meetup. And so the way to do that is to put it behind a registration screen or a sign up. And Zoom has that option. But it is an extra step for your attendees where they have to register.
So one of the things that I have done to eliminate that is I actually send out an email to anybody who has registered. I kind of keep a separate list of people. So I keep it on the back end. I don't use Zoom as my registration. I use my email list as a registration. Okay. And then they get an email through my email list or one of those back end programs. So one of the programs that I use for something that's free is called Tickettailer.
Tickettailer. Okay. I'm going to make a note of that.
And sorry, I keep looking away. I have a thing left over from our trip to Florida that I'm scratching open. So,
oh yeah, not good.
Yeah. So it's gushing right now, but, so yeah,
do you need to go get a Band-Aid or something? Or are you good?
No, I'm good. I'm it's going to slow down here in a minute,
but so it's called Tickettailer.
Tickettailer. Do I have the permission to share screen?
I can, I think so, because you are co-host. So yes, you do.
Let me get into Tickettailer. You'll get to see my back end of Tickettailer, so you won't see what it looks like from the client's perspective. But so I have events.
Okay.
I have three events that are pre-programmed in here. And then when I click on this webinar, it goes to the dates that I have scheduled that are upcoming. So if you look, I have 5 scheduled for Saturday, 2 for the 11th, 1 for the 18th. And then when I click into that, I have to go to issue tickets. If I click on that, I can see the names of the people that are coming. Okay. Event summary, go back to there. But what we've done is, like, order confirmation and checkout and stuff, we've pre-programmed the email that's when they get the link to the Zoom. So that's when so it's embedded there. So what's out there for public, like on Facebook and stuff, is the link to Tickettailer. It is not the link to Zoom.
And now Zoom does have an option that you can do that right in Zoom as well.
Yeah. And I haven't used that because I still feel like you can get a hacker that comes in.
Well, you could, because somebody could make up an email address. And so, you know, I mean, we all know that you can have as many, yeah, you can have as many free emails as you want, but it is that extra layer of protection when you have it like that. So, I don't know if I can.
Yeah. And then, what happens then for me as I'm quote unquote, when building a better business using your terms then is when I send out an email after the webinar that they attend, there mm-hmm. is a one, and I send it out to my, in from my general email account, my Gmail or email account. So that is like a direct link to my one-on-one emails, not my email list. But in that, my very last line in that email states something to the effect of, can I add you to my email list? Only a reply with your disapproval will prevent me to adding you. So the way I worded it, I automatically add them unless they come in and they send me a reply, don't add me to your list. Then I come back in and take them out of my email list. So I'm manually then entering each one of those people into my email list based on that email that I send out. And I usually do it all at the same time. And if I end up getting a don't put me on your email list, then I go back in and remove them. I have yet to have anybody say no.
Here is the back of the house. What I did is I just opened up this Ohio Writers Guild monthly meetup. This is on Zoom. And right in my setup, when I open it up, one of the things that I can do here is in the invitation, here is the registration link. So if I click copy that link and just show you what that looks like, if they click, and so I just advertise that link. And so if they click on the link, this is what they'll get. This is what they see. It's the Ohio Writers Guild monthly meetup. It's the little paragraph about us.
I'm wondering where that was. So you actually have to be on your app on your desktop, but you have to be in Zoom proper to get to that.
Yes, I'm actually in Zoom on my laptop, and it's the webinar registration, and it gives all the dates so they can click which one they want to register for, and then they put their name in. And one of the things that I did is that, and I don't know, I'd have to scroll down to find it, but anyhow, so far we've got 52 people that have registered for that particular event. And see, there's no way that I could monitor when I'm hosting. There's no way that I just now asked a gal to be my co-host. And so it's just me. And I have no way that I can keep track of 52 people. If they get together with some buddies and say 10 of them are hackers, you can't chase 10 people and conduct a call at the same time.
No.
Mm-hmm. And I've got 52 people that have registered, but on this registration, because they actually got this. Now they could make up all kinds of email addresses, but oftentimes the Zoom hackers, they don't want you to track them, because if you would file or report it, they could search that IP address and they could go back and find who it is that did it. And if they get a history of that, you know, they don't want to be on the radar. They just want to, they're just having fun. And so generally, if they click through and realize they have to register, they have a tendency to move on. They want an easier target.
Yeah.
So that's just one option. And I haven't done that with this group yet, but I certainly could with my free ones, and just keep the mastermind ones that we advertise, the actual links, just to the mastermind members. And, you know, and again, what you're doing is you're basically putting your meeting behind a sort of a firewall. You know, so everything either has to be registered for, or if it's a member, they have to go into the membership site to get the Zoom code. So is that helpful?
Yes.
Yeah. You're going to do some Zoom meetings?
That is. The other thing that I have is with my new community that I am launching in August, it has events within that. And okay. So anything that is going to be at a paid level, they have to say whether they're coming or not. And so then it, they're the one. So it's in that inside the community that I'm going to be having that link. So my big public links are going to be out here in Ticketailer and stuff. So just as you are thinking about community, you know, keeping that link inside the course will right. help too.
And so for me, all my public stuff, I can put behind a registration right on Zoom. And I don't pay any extra for that because it's already built into Zoom. If I don't want to buy, you know, a whole platform that does all of that. And Sherry, your platform does all of that. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And some of the gals that come on this call are the same. They have a total platform that does, you know, it does all of their website, their classes, their videos, it's all on one platform. And I don't have that. So I use Teachable. Well, Teachable is the paid site. And so all of my mastermind members in whatever lane they're in, they have access to the Teachable. And of course, they can go right there and find the dates, the times, the Zoom codes and everything right inside of Teachable. So when I put it out on my calendar, I use the Teachable link into that mastermind. So when they click, it takes them to the mastermind and that's where they then get the link. It is an extra step, but it protects the general public from tapping in. And then on these free calls that I do on Fridays, it looks like after today, I only had trouble with the Happy House Hunters one because that one I usually have like 300 people in it.
Wow.
From all over. And so that one we were getting. So I immediately put it over on webinars. So they had to, you know, I transferred it from meetings to webinars on Zoom so that I had to do, so that everyone had to do a registration. But in my settings on Zoom webinar, there is a place that says if they've registered once, they don't have to register again. So if they've registered once, they don't have to every meetup register again. They're already registered. And I clicked that yes. And then it also said, allow your people to join from more than one device. And I put that as a no. Because what happens is sometimes you'll have a hacker that will join from his laptop, his tablet, and his phone, and he'll name himself three different names. And you can't get rid of it, because as soon as you find that it's Johnny that's causing the problem and you bump Johnny out, then he changes the name on another device and he's still in there. And you can't, it's like whack-a-mole. You can't find him fast enough because he keeps moving around in the room under different names. And so I marked it that no, you couldn't join with numerous devices. You could only join with one device.
So right now we have somebody in the waiting room, but it also has a picture. So I'm guessing that
that's, you know, Carmella. Yep. Let her in. Yep.
Okay. Done.
Yep. We know Carmella. So anyway, hi Carmella. Oh, she's getting connected. Yep. She's not quite all connected yet. So anyway, so the moral of the story is as much as we want to be open and serving and make it easy, sometimes we have to take that extra step. Carmella, thank you for joining us. Hi.
Good morning. Sorry, I'm running behind. Phone calls.
I get it. We've had two false starts this morning on this call because we've had a couple of hackers that came in and just wanted the shock value. So we stopped the recording and started over. So we're actually talking about right now, our conversation is about how can we protect our Zoom calls from these hackers, and what are some tips and tricks that we can put up a little bit of a firewall there. So it just makes it harder for them to get in. If they really want to work that hard, they can get in, they can create a fake email, they can create a fake name, they can make it look all very, you know, professional and still get into your room. And if they want to work that hard, then there's a way that you can then boot them out once they're in there. But the bigger your calls get, you almost have to have somebody that's working that for you. a co-host that can, you know, kind of keep an eye on the waiting room. And then when they let, because, you know, you want to let folks in if it's a free call, because that's the whole point, is to get new clients. And so you want someone in there that's truly interested. But if they're there just to stir trouble and get the shock value out of all of your listeners, then you need to get them out of there. So I was just sharing earlier, Carmela, if you are the host or co-host and you hover your cursor over any of your attendees' names and click on the more button, it will give you an option to remove them from the room or to put them back into the waiting room. So you do have an option to get somebody out of your call if they're causing a lot of problems. So, and a lot of times they'll wait until you're 10 minutes into the call, which our first guy, he showed himself really early with his comments, and we got him out and started over. And then the second guy, we think, was probably in the same room as the first guy. He signed in with a different name. And of course, we're like, okay, is this a new person? So we let the second person in, and he waited about 10 minutes in before, and then he asked the exact same question. So we said, okay. And then a third person immediately that we didn't know tried to join, and Sherry is like, they might be legit, but I'm booting them. So the third person didn't get. So if you're listening to the replay later and that third person was you and you were really interested, we're sorry. We had some hackers this morning. So hopefully you can listen to the replay. So anyway, we're now going to get past all of that. So welcome. And I'm your host, Kathy Benner. Sherry is your co-host. And today we're talking about building a better business. We've gone through the whole program, on building a better business. So we go through it every year and we start talking, and I know it just makes much more sense. And Sherry's heard my spiel. This is the third time this morning because we've had to start over, but it just makes more sense when you hear it after you start taking some action and putting together your business, then all of this makes more sense. And so of course, starting from the top, you have to have whatever your promise is to your clients. What is it? What are you going to do for whom? And that is your value proposition statement. That's your VPS. And that's where you know, and it's hard to craft that. Sometimes you have to get to the end and then work backward, because my VPS has changed. Has yours changed, Sherry, over time? Oh, yeah. And Debbie, I know yours has changed because you think you have it down in writing what value you're going to bring to your clients. But then as your business takes shape, kind of organically, as you take action and you get more clarity, then you go back and revisit that value proposition statement and you make it more true to who you are, to what it is that you really want to do to serve your clients. And so the VPS is a good place to start. You have to, you know, kind of start with something. And then we talk about your storytelling, because your story, once upon a time, but then and now, here's how you're helping other folks. Once you get your storyline down, then that storyline is something you could always, always, always come back to, no matter where you are. So Sherry and I, we just attended an event in South Florida, and one of the presenters there was an improv guy. And he said he thinks every public speaker should take an improv class, because he said, you never know what somebody is going to throw at you. And he said, and you have to learn how to roll with the punches and bring it back around to where you want it to be. And so Sherry just had a situation where she was on a podcast and the conference, you know, the interviewer, you know, kind of takes it one direction, and maybe that's not where you want it to go. And I'll be honest, I had that happen to me, and here's why. I had this whole thing in writing as to what I do for whom, but then as I got more clarity, I changed direction a little bit, and my interviewer had found an old copy somewhere, either on an old Facebook post or something. And so they're interviewing me off of the old copy, and it's not where I wanted to go today. And so they even had the wrong bio. They took the bio off of an old website. And so I'm thinking, this isn't where I want this conversation to go. So talk about improv. I had to roll with it, because again, you don't want to make your interviewer look bad, but you as the person being interviewed, you want to steer that conversation back on the right track. And so that's very important to have your story. And so what I did is, because the gal that picked up this old information on me, it was accurate information, but it was going to take us down a wrong direction as to where I wanted the call to end up on what my offer was, because that's a different offer that I had back then. And so I had to go back into my mind in my story, and I had to see where is the crossroads in my story. And if I could get her to that crossroads, see, then I could move it the other direction, the conversation in the direction I wanted it to go. And so that's exactly what I did, because she wanted to talk all about the salon business and how many staff that I have. Well, I'm not in the salon business these days. And so, you know, I could talk all day long about how many staff I had in the salon business, but it isn't going to help somebody want to take, you know, my course on creative writing, you know, just because I owned a salon, you know, 5 years ago. And so I had to quickly, in my story, get her to the point where I retired. And then I created the Kathy Benner International Academy. Well, now that threw her off, because she didn't have that information. She had all of my salon information. And so now that I got her to that point in the conversation, I had to almost steer the interview backwards and talk about improv. I had to almost tell her the question to ask me. So I had to say things like, well, and then a lot of my customers wondered what I was doing. And then she would go, well, yeah, what is it? What are you doing? So you see, I had to almost tell her the question. So talk about improv. So I love the whole idea of improv. When you are in Toastmasters, Toastmasters has a segment of each meeting where you do table topics. And what they do is they toss a topic out and they just go, Sherry, tell us about pumpkin pie. And you're like, what?
Well, you know, I was really looking at Thanksgiving, and then you have to go on for 2 minutes and and talk about something.
Anyway, that is wonderful practice, because you never know what someone is going to throw at you when you're in business. And you always want to be able to steer it back to your offers. That's the whole point. And do it in a subtle way where you don't want your listener to feel like you're beating them over the head, you know, buy my stuff, because that's not the point. You're there to serve. And so you just always want to weave your story back in. So anyway, that's the whole point with improv and how that works. And so your story is so important. And then once you have what your promise is and you've got your story, your storyline, then you're ready to start serving. And now you want to build an audience, but you don't have an audience yet. And so what you do is you look for folks. And I like to list five. Now you can't serve five, but I like to list five influential people that are in my lane. It can be speakers, authors, writers, you know, I want to pick five. And I've done that. And for those of you that have been in my mastermind before, you've done that with me. You've picked your five. And then you start to see which of those five resonate with you. And Debbie and Sherry, well, even Carmela, you might be familiar with this story as well. But I chose Wendy Bloom-Weiss was one of my five. And so as I started serving her, we just really had a connection, and she then made me her co-mod a few times on her Clubhouse room. And she's made Sherry co-mod a few times on the Clubhouse room. And as we then started serving Wendy and showing up to support her, she then was going to do a co-author book project. Well, for those of you that know me, I wanted to write, and I wasn't sure, you know, all of the nuts and bolts of putting a book together. Sherry is ahead of me. Sherry is already published, and it's a big job to write a book. It's a big job. And so I decided when I could co-author a book where I only had to write one chapter and end up in a bestseller, because there's 20 of us pushing the wagon in the right direction instead of just one, I decided that when that train went down past me, I was getting on. So as that train went by, I got on. And guess what? They're sending a second train down the track, and Sherry just got on. So anyway, the point is all of a sudden we didn't have to build an audience. We're borrowing Wendy's audience. And so now Wendy is promoting us in front of all of her audience. And all we did was serve. And you can see, you know, the tide rises all the ships. And so serving is your selling. Your storytelling is your marketing, and your serving is your selling. And then from there, you now you've got it in your mind where you want to go with your business, with whatever your product is or your service is. But now you have to put it somehow in a roadmap, because like I was saying earlier, you know, Mark and I want to go to Italy in the winter in January. We tentatively have a trip scheduled. We haven't physically booked it yet, but we've got all the mapping out of it done. And we have to find out, what airport do we have to go to? Where do we fly into? Where are the layovers? Where are we going to end up so we can connect with this tour group that we want to do a 3 or 4 day tour once we get there? And then how many days on our own? And then what airport do we come back? And so now you have to have your business kind of mapped out. And so I'm a firm believer to map it right out on the homepage of your website. Because when you can see it visually right there, like, here's my VPS, here's my story, here's how I want to serve you, here are my offers. And so just map it out right on your homepage of your website. It kind of looks like a sales funnel in a sense, but it's kind of from the 30,000 foot view sales funnel, because it's everything that you do, and you don't want to make it super, super confusing or muddy. You just want it to be spelled out as clean and as simple as possible. But from there, once you start to put it on your website, now what are your services and what are you going to offer? What are these products and services? So then we go through 3 or 4 levels of services and products. And then finally, we've got our VPS, we've got our story, we know the tribes that we're serving, where our audience is, we've got our products in place. Now, how are we going to get the word out? And then we start talking about social media, how to put it out across social media, how to do blogging so that folks get to know, like, and trust you, and you can start talking about your products and services, how to do podcasting, whether you're interviewing other folks or they're interviewing you, but you get to bring out your products and services in a podcast. And finally, public speaking, because with public speaking, even if you just do a chamber lunch, you know, you might have 40 people in the room. Well, where are you going to be able to connect with 40 people in an hour anywhere else? A speaking gig is a perfect way to share what your products and services are by just bringing value to that group. And all of a sudden you basically had a sales call with 40 people. You know, you've got a captive audience. They're going to listen to you for 20, 30 minutes because you're the speaker that day. So those are all the ways that you can build a better business. And in a year's time, you can take an idea and totally launch it if you just do each one of these steps. And Sherry, I see she just posted, is that the new book deal? Okay, Sherry just posted the new link for the book deal there. But I want to show you, and so save that if you're interested in getting published. Again, Sherry shared with me that the price is the same as what I paid for now. No, higher? I don't know the price on the new one.
The only people that they're offering the same price that you paid were the people that were on that call. Okay. The link that you will get, it's $3,700 to be
okay.
Honest.
Well, $3,700. I paid three. Cool. So it's still doable, because yeah. if I researched one time to publish a book, if you did all the parts and pieces yourself and paid for the ISBN number and paid for cover design and paid for editing and paid for this and paid for that, it's $20,000 to publish a book. And, but you can do it all day long. If you've got $20,000, you can publish as many books as you want. But this is, all of it's included in that price, the editing, the cover design, the layout, it's all included. And like I said, you've got 20 people pushing the cart in the right direction, getting you across that bestseller list. Debbie, go ahead.
And one of the things that's different about this versus the other publishing agency that we have been part of is that, one, they don't include editing. And two, you have to do all the marketing yourself, even though you're a single author, you still have to do it all yourself, where they're going to assist you in the marketing, and everybody that's part of the book markets the book so that, that your name gets out there and you're not doing all the work.
So Sherry, what's the name of the book that you're going to participate in?
She did not reveal the name yet. I think she's waiting to see all the people that sign up before she comes up with a name. But the hint was that it has a superhero theme.
Yeah. Ah. So with the one that I'm in right now, it's now in editing, and ours is to speak, lead, and impact. But like Sherry said, she had to see who signed up first to contribute a chapter. And so she wanted all of our outlines before she named the book, because she wanted a common theme with all of our outlines. And so our job was to simply write our hero's journey. And so in our hero's journey, everyone there, their hero's journey was like, here's where I was, but then I discovered this, and now I want to bring this to my audience. And so that's where it came out, you know, to speak, lead, and impact, because everybody shared their hero's journey. So I'm not sure with Sherry what the outline is going to be, but Patricia sends that out in a Google Doc form with the outline, and you fill it in. And then that's your basic outline for your chapter. And then once she gets everybody's outlines, she gives you a little more direction on where she wants you to take your outline. So it really, it's pretty simple. I think I spent 2 days working on my chapter and submitted it to her. And so now she's got everyone's chapters, and now she's editing, because now she's deciding whose chapter goes where in the book so that it flows. And because some people are going to talk more on a spiritual realm, some people are going to talk more pragmatically. This depends on their style. And so she's going to have the book laid out to where it flows better. And that's her job. She does all of that once you pay your money and submit your chapter.
Put the link for your book in the chat. I don't know if Debbie and Carmela have purchased it.
I have.
Yeah. Okay, then don't worry about it.
Okay.
Kathy, are you going to be in the second book also?
No, I'm just in the first one. I did not jump on the call the other day because I had a coaching call, but I'm not sure that I would be ready this quickly to turn around and jump into another one. So I might wait a year, because I really, like Sherry, I really want to do my own standalone book at some point. And Debbie, right. I know that's where you're headed with your writing. So I want to do my own standalone book at some point, but I might contact Patricia to, you know, to help with that. I don't know what she would charge. I haven't asked her.
I asked her some private messages yesterday about some of the stuff that I have. And she referred me to another publishing agency in the midst of our conversation. So I was looking at that one. But I don't know. I've already paid for all of that content, and I only have to pay for ISBNs from now on.
Yeah.
So it may still be that I go that particular route. I don't know. We'll see.
And I think that's fine. I think that's fine, because, you know, once you get published, you start to realize it's not rocket science. It's just a process that, you know, we all have to go through. And so mine is actually, let's see if I can remember it, if anybody wants to pass it on. It's speakleadimpactbook.com.
Sherry, did you have Carrie publish your first book?
Yes.
Okay. Was that worth it being for your first book?
Oh, it was very helpful. The title of my book would not be what it is today if I hadn't had Gary coaching me.
Okay.
I think it's important on your first book. It's so hard to do on your own because you don't know what you don't know. And so I think on your first book, it's important to kind of have a coach. But like I said, once you go through it a time or two, it's not rocket science, and it's just putting it together and learning all of the behind the scenes stuff. And so that's why I decided, and I don't know how Sherry feels about it, but that's why I decided And like all I like to say is that train was going by, I decided to get on because I thought there's no way I'm going to be able to educate myself fast enough and not spend more than this doing it. So that's why I decided to jump on for, in my case, it was $3,000.
So my second book that I'm writing, Debbie, with Jonna Lee, is also with Carrie's program. But we hired a ghostwriter and has taken our technical work and created the story behind the book. So there's the story weaved through and we interject all the technical stuff in between. And one of the things that I found was having a ghostwriter to add that story piece was also educational for me as well. And working on the book, the other book that I'm working on, it's going to be helpful. So
Jonna, Carmella left. I know
she's
that
not interested in book publishing.
I know that name, Jonna Lee, but it's not registering from
you,
where.
You've met her at Carrie's conference a time or two.
Okay. Okay.
She's a math girl.
She's that girl.
The math girl.
The math?
Yeah. Math girl.
She's the one that Carrie met on the airplane, and by the time they landed, he had coached her, you know. Yeah.
Yes. That girl. that one.
So anyway, I want to show you today. I want to share my screen and you're going to recognize a couple of these folks, but I want to show you once you start to put together your programs, whether it's a book you're selling, whether it's a product, whether it's a service, you need a way, and we're talking all about originally here, you see on my screen, this whole registration for Zoom. Because you need a way to capture this information to start creating your tribe that you're going to market. And so one of the things is this, and so Sherry will recognize this. This is Kathy. This is a gal that we work with. She's one of my co-authors. This is her short sales funnel. It's wonderful. Look at this sales funnel. She just talks about here that the name of her product is the 4-week easy breezy summer reset. She talks a little bit about it. Here's what you're going to.
Can you share that link in the chat?
Yeah, I'll pick it up. And here is what you're going to get. And then here's where she didn't list what each one of these things cost. She just said, normally all of that would be $19.97. You're going to get it for $97. And she's going to capture your name, email, and your phone number. And then you click, see, it says, go on to step 2. You see how she made it super, super, super simple. That's the whole thing. That's the whole thing right there. That's the bottom. That's the whole thing.
That's it.
So you see how simple that is. And I'm going to come up here and I'm going to copy that. And I'm going to stop sharing so that I can then paste that in the chat. So there is the link in the chat. So anyway, that is super, super simple. And you can do this, and I'm going to go back and show you again. You can do this in your website. You can have a whole ClickFunnels and all of that stuff if you want. But if you don't, and I don't see here what she's using, it says Power Up.
She's using ClickFunnels. I can tell by the way it's laid out.
Is that a ClickFunnels? But you can actually make your funnel on a page in your website, and then what you do. There's a place where you can hide the link so it doesn't show up in your menu and your website, and you can hide the link. But anytime you advertise that URL, which would be right here, your sales funnel is going to show up. And so let me show you one. And again, this isn't a sales funnel, but I just want to show you what it looks like when you have the link hidden. And this is my website. And so when you come down here I'll go back to my homepage. When you come all the way to the bottom of my website, you will see clear in the bottom in the footer, I have a privacy notice and a terms and conditions. Now, when you click on the privacy notice or the terms and conditions, it comes up. Okay. but it's a hidden link. It doesn't show, the link does not show in my menu. When you actually look at my menu, there is no link there that says terms and conditions. Because what I did, I created a page in my website, but then I hid the page. So the only place that you can get to that page is if you have the URL or the link. Now, when you go to the bottom and you click on the privacy notice, see, it's right here. There's the URL. So you can actually make a funnel right in your website. You're already paying for your website. You don't have to buy anything extra. You can already make it right here. And one of the plugins that you can use on all your website is a contact me page. So all you have to do when you're building that funnel page that you're going to hide is put your little contact block in there where you capture their name and email address and that sort of thing. And then you can, under that link, you can have it go right into your email box. And so anytime somebody, wants to register, if you will, that information will come directly to you. Or you can link it to a Google form if you want. There's all kinds of ways you can do it for free. Because if you're just getting started, you don't want to have a big cost, but you need to start generating some income. And so you're wondering, how can I do a sales funnel without signing up for one of these big sales funnel companies? Now, don't get me wrong. They're wonderful. It's all inclusive. There's a little bit of a learning curve on getting all of your information in there, but it's a wonderful thing. But if you don't have that and you're not in the market for that, oftentimes you tell yourself, I'm not ready for that. I can't have a sales funnel. I'm telling you, you can have a sales funnel. You just build it here instead. Okay. Does that make sense? So that was one, was Kathy's. Another one, and here's a longer one, and I want to show you this one. This one is a gal. She is doing this as a free class. See, so this would be her opt-in offer. This would be her freebie. And now she could, now you could use something just like this and you could make it your core offer. You could even make it your mid-level offer. You could make it your high-end offer. The only difference in your offers is the price point. Some folks want to do a class as their opt-in. Some folks want to do a class as their big offer. It depends on the price point. So this one she's using as a for free offer. She's just trying to capture your name and address and email. When you click save my seat, and we're going to click it, you have to select a date first. Starts in 1 minute. Yeah, I don't think I'm going to make that one. Here's one that starts in 8 hours. And see, all it is, first name, email address, register. Once I fill that in, this register button will show up. It's just a way to capture. Now, hers was a pop-up. Yours does not have to be. Yours can be just like Kathy's. See, hers is right here. She yeah. embedded hers right into the funnel. You didn't have to click to get to the form. Her form is right here. So again, there's different ways to do that. So she could have put in hers, she could have put the form right here instead of a button to save the seat. Now, the reason she did that was because she was offering it more than one time. And so she made it save my seat to go to another screen so that you could pick the date that you wanted. Kathy, but you could have had that in a little, you could have still added that for them to check mark. Debbie, go ahead.
Isn't she part of something that you're involved with? The name looks familiar.
This gal?
Yeah.
Yes. She's part of the bloggers.
Yes. Could you put that link in the chat box?
Now again, this is her class. So yeah, I'll highlight that before I leave the site. So okay. Now when you scroll down, hers is a longer page. Now you can make your page right in your website as long as you want, depending on the host site that you're using. But she put some facts in there to try to get you involved. She tells you that isn't a class full of fluff. So she's trying to make it look really casual. And she, all down the way, each place, she gives you a place to save your seat. Then she tells a little bit about herself and what she does and how she got started, how she's inspired. And then she goes into some testimonials, other folks that have worked with her. And see, then again, are you ready to see what a blog can do for you? Learn the four steps for starting yours. And so anyway, you see how that goes. So she just laid it right out. It's a little bit longer funnel than.
Yeah, but that's good. I like it.
Yeah. But you can build this right in your website, or if you want to have one of those funnel programs, you are welcome to do that as well. I have to stop sharing to come back over here to put the link. So there you go. So anyway, I just wanted to show you a couple of options. So once you know what your products are, then all you have to do is start putting them into a format that you're going to advertise. So there's two ways to advertise. You can advertise organically. And if you advertise organically, everything's time or money. If you advertise organically, you're going to spend more time. You're going to be doing a lot of speaking at chamber luncheons. You're going to be speaking at Kiwanis groups. You're going to be blogging on a regular basis. You're going to be jumping on as many podcasts as you can get on. Or you can create a very professional, clean-looking funnel, like either of the two that I just showed you, and you can start putting those out across your social media, and you can start either boosting them or putting them into ads. And so now you're going to be reaching folks that doesn't know you. And so that's why it has to be an entry level where somebody would be willing to spend their money when they don't know who you are. So again, look at Kathy's $97. See, you're going to get four powerful breakthrough Zoom calls, intimate group coaching, build long-lasting relationships, walk away with a bulletproof game plan and a private Facebook group. And if somebody is really struggling and they're like, the 4-week easy breezy summer reset. Yeah. See, it's a virtual event for female business leaders looking to gain a renewed sense of purpose and gain massive traction for the second part. A lot of us are going to say, $97, I'm in. Yeah, for $97, I can do that. Now, if she were charging the $19.97, not so much. You see the point? Because if you don't know her, you're like, I'm not jumping in on that. I don't even know who that girl is. But for $97, you might. And so now when you come over here and you're like, oh, it's a free class. Now, the only thing I would do different is that I would, where it says save my seat, I might have added that into the button, save my seat for this free class. I might have added the, because she even has it a little more subtle. It's not the dark black print. So if you're just glancing in a hurry, you might even miss the fact that it's free. You see where I'm going with that? So I might have made that more known in my button if I were her, where it says save my seat for this free class. I might have included that phrase. Or like Kathy did, I might have put something like, was $495/free, you know, and draw the slash through it like Kathy did here. By the way, your keyboard should have that as an option to put a slash through a number like that. So anyway, as you scroll down, her colors are very calming. And then she goes into all of her testimonials and then back down to click through again. Okay. So anyway, you see how easy it is to do a funnel. It's basically just a web page. The difference is you have to have a way to capture that email address, and then you have to have a systematic way that you're going to constantly let them know what's going on. Now, I'm capturing all of mine in Teachable because that's where all my videos are, that's where all my lessons are, that's where all the courses are, that's where all my free meetups are. Everything is in Teachable. And so when I go to Teachable, and I just want to show you this, when I go to Teachable, I got to move our faces out of the way, and I go back to the beginning of the Academy. And of course, the little bar is in the way for for the Zoom call. So I got to move it out of the way. You guys can't see that, but when I share my screen, the little bar is up. Here's all the users. And here are all the names. I can actually email my students right here. And I can add a filter so I can do just the students that are in the Ohio Writers Guild, or I can do just the students that are in the free meetup for opening a bed and breakfast. So I can filter whatever students I want, and then I can email these students. And like Sherry talking about an opt-in or opt-out, you see where email opt-out, a few people have said yes, they opt out. So Sherry Brown, for example, does not get any of my emails. She's opted out of that. So you see where, you know, certain folks have opted out here. So I won't stay long in this screen because, of course, it is folks' private emails. So I will jump out of that. But you see where I'm capturing all of those in the Teachable platform. And so this is my platform. And when you scroll down, it matches my website. See, all of my products are right here. It matches my website. Yes.
I'm sorry. I keep interrupting you.
No, go ahead.
Can you design those two that you showed us in Teachable?
Teachable has its own format for sales page. And so the answer is yes and no. They have their own version of a sales page, and it's okay, but it doesn't give you the liberty to do what you can do in your website. For example, this is my free meetup, As Fit as a Fiddle. And if I click on it, this is the sales page. So this is what the sales page looks like in Teachable. It automatically, you know, gives you a picture at the top. I can change the picture out, but I can't change the fact that that's what goes here. And then it goes right into what we're about. And then who is your, and it calls everybody an instructor. I can't change that word to coach or teacher. Instructor is kind of prefabbed right into their programming. And so then it goes through who we are, and then it goes right into the curriculum. So their sales page, and then frequently asked questions, and then get started now. There's no place for testimonials. This is what every single sales page looks like on Teachable. Now, it isn't bad, don't get me wrong. And if somebody says, Kathy, I'm interested in your free meetup, how do I get to it? Oftentimes I will, send them this link up here. You know, I'll highlight this link and send them out to them because that's the program that they were interested in learning about. And so I'll just give them to that link. But you can see where all of it, you can just click on any one of the icons and that becomes the sales page. But you see how it's laid out the same every time. I don't get an opt. Now, it's not bad. Like I said, it's not bad. But it's hard to design a sales page to make it look like the two that I just showed you on Teachable, because every single one of them will look exactly the same. You can change the tops, you can change, you can change the wording, but see again, what we're about, who's your instructors, and the curriculum, and finally the questions, and then start now. So it's the same. Does that help?
Yeah. So the two that you showed us, mm-hmm. to capture the emails, are they designing that in their website, or are they?
They're either using a page in their website or they're using a funnel program.
Oh,
like okay. ClickFunnels. What are some other, Sherry? What are some other funnel programs?
I avoid them all, so I don't know. But ClickFunnels is a big one.
Yeah, ClickFunnels is a big one, yeah.
Debbie, just so you know, just to get started in ClickFunnels, it's $99 a month.
Okay.
So that's why Kathy's encouraging you to put the funnel within your website. So you start out with one page, and then when they click the button, you just send them to another page. You send them to another page, and you just work your way through that if you need support on creating those things, Kathy and I can both, mm-hmm. both of us can help you get them set up. But looking at those two that she shared in the chat box are really good formats on just setting up, giving you a basic idea of what the page should look like.
Yeah, because I like those. Mm-hmm. And those are great examples for someone like myself who's just getting started.
Yeah, so one's a short version and one's a longer version. I wanted to do another,
Yeah, another one that was really good laid out was Ruth's for her 5-day challenge. I don't know if
I do not have that link. I looked for that and I don't know that
it's up anymore. That's I think they've shut it down, but that was another one that was laid out well.
Because her challenge is over now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wendy's got a 5-day challenge. I wonder if I can find her link.
What's her challenge up?
I remember seeing it. Yeah, I don't know where I have it. I'm looking. I don't know. But I can show you again on mine, just a couple of pages. For example, I've got tribe trips. Well, if I just want to advertise my tribe trips, see, I can just use this URL right here. Now, if I wanted to do this as a sales funnel, I simply would hide the page. So it did not show here in my menu if I wanted to use this as a sales page. If I just said, hey, we've got trips, here's the trips. See, I could create this and see here's where we did the Florida one. And then here is the one coming up on July 30th. And then here is the one coming up on August 31st. And so I could use this as my sales page to click through. And see, when you click through, it takes you right to those areas where I capture your email address. Does that make sense? You're just making a page on your website and all you're doing, let's say I wanted the speakers. Let's say I want to market for speakers. I could advertise this URL right here at the top. And all it does is it brings you to this page and it's building a heart-centered community where it's all about you. Join our speakers, coaches. This could be my sales page. And when you scroll down, you know, see, you can just plug in whatever you want. Here's your different levels. Here's where they tap in. And then here they can say, oh, well, what does it look like if you're a speaker? So now you can even browse. I could leave that button there. And it just takes you, like Sherry said, to a different page in your website. And now they can browse through all the speakers. There's Carmella.
When I was thinner.
Hey, you're beautiful. Hey. So anyway, so there we are, and there I am. And as we scroll down, keep scrolling, there's Sherry. And we keep scrolling down, and almost. And there's Debbie.
Cool.
So we're all on there. So anyhow, and there's Kathy, the gal we were just looking at her funnel. So anyway, the point is, you can make any page in your website a sales page. It's however you want to lay it out because you're building the page. And all you do, the only difference is whether you hide it or not here in your menu. Like I hid my privacy and, you know, I just hid those. And so you have to have the link to get to them. And that's how you can create as many sales pages as you want. And you simply hide the link in your menu of your website. And then you just advertise that URL out across your social media, in your blogs, whatever, if you're doing something special. Now, another way, and we haven't talked about this, but another way to get folks to your website is to use your link tree. And I don't know if I can get to my link tree rather quickly here because, again, all of the stuff is in the way. Our faces are all in the way. Bear with me and see if I can get to mine.
And if you don't want to use a link tree, you can just put a page on your website that has all those links on it.
Yes. Because I do not see.
There's login.
There we go. Now, again, I have a new computer. It might make me log in. I don't know if it's going to let me go right to it or not. Nope, I think it is. So here is my link right here of Linktree. It's just the link tr.ee/Kathy Binner. So that's my Linktree. So when I click on that, that's what my Linktree looks like. And so what I like to do on my Linktree, I like to use my Linktree as my electronic virtual business card. And I went to an open house over the weekend and folks were like, oh, we really want to connect with you. And I'm like, well, what's your phone number? And I just got out my cell phone and I just tapped their phone number into a text message and sent them my link to my Linktree. And so now they have this exact format. So as soon as they click on the link, this is what opens up. And so I put everything that I want to highlight and you can move it around. That's the joy. When you're actually creating your link over here, you see where this little hand goes over these four dots. You can move this anywhere in the link. You can move it up. You can move it down. You can move these all around. They don't have to stay in that order. So every week, if you wanted to highlight a different landing page or a different sales page or a different funnel, you could put it at the top of your Linktree. And that's what Wendy does, by the way. If whenever she's doing a 5-day challenge or if she's doing a masterclass or whatever she's doing that's coming up next, she puts that at the top of her Linktree. And so once they look at my Linktree, see, they can join an event, they can learn more about me. It's got everything on there, but it also has, you know, the podcast and the blog, but then it has the speaker cabinet as well. So it's everything that I'm doing kind of as an overview and seeing here is our next tribe trip. And it's right on here. And I just put the one coming up. So as soon as our one in South Florida was over, I took that link out and added this link. Okay.
So Kathy, how do you put this on your phone?
I went to my phone and I just Googled Linktree and opened this up, what you're seeing right now. I just opened it up in my search. Okay. And I don't know if you guys have done this or not, but this is the sweet little deal. So I'm going to give you a little hack. I'll say Google something, that may not be the search engine you're using, but you know what I mean. When you search for something and you Google something and it opens, once it opens, and I'm just going to use my website, thekathybinner.com. Once it opens and I'm waiting for it to open and, oh, I've got my blur on there. I got to put it over in front of my face so you can see it. Once my website opens up here in the corner, there's going to be three little dots. Yeah. And if you click on those three little dots, it'll say add to home screen.
Oh, yes.
Okay. And if you tap add to home screen, it'll actually make that web location. It'll give it a little icon. And so now all you have to do is share that icon if you want to share that with anybody. You don't have to go open it up and look it up each time. So what I did is I opened up my Linktree. I tapped the three little dots and now I've lost. Oh, sorry. I plugged my phone in. Sorry about that. So anyhow, what I did is I tapped the three little dots and I created a little icon for my Linktree. And so now when I'm out and about and someone says, oh, by the way, I want to connect with you. And I go, oh, well, let me give you my information. What's your phone number? And I just get my phone out. I type their phone number in my text message. Then I go over and I copy and paste that link right into the text message.
Okay.
And then they're like, oh, wow, this is everything. Because here's what I discovered. If I send them my website, it almost feels salesy to them. Like, yes. I wanted to connect with her and she sent me her website. Like she's expecting me to buy something. And I said, I'm just going to send you my Linktree. I said, it has everything. I said, you can learn more about me there. And because they can scan down that Linktree, because it's not so much information, they can go, ooh, tribe trip, what is that? So curiosity will have them clicking on some of those links or blog. Oh, I ought to check out her blog, or, oh, I wonder what she's doing on her podcast. And so it doesn't make it feel as salesy when you send them your link on Linktree. That's just my opinion.
No, you're right.
And it's a way to highlight what you're doing. So if you've got a masterclass coming up, or if you've got a 5-day challenge coming up, or if you have something coming up, you can put that link at the top of your link tree. And it's so easy when you go into what we call the back of the house on Linktree, where you just click on those four little dots, you can scoot that link up and down your Linktree wherever you want it to come up when somebody clicks. So anyhow, it's just a good thing. So hopefully this has been helpful for everyone today. Hopefully I've brought some value. I know we started off talking about Zoom hackers because we had a couple today. So for those of you that are listening to this recording later, we had a couple of false starts because we had a couple of hackers. So we just stopped recording and started over, and then decided that we just really wanted to talk about Zoom hacking because all of us here might want to have some virtual Zoom calls to do a masterclass or a 5-day challenge or whatever. And so we wanted to share with everyone that, you know, how to handle that. But before we go, I just want to come in. This is my Linktree again. I want to come back to my home page here on my website. And as we finish, I just want to show everyone that might be watching this later that we have 8 different lanes. And so we've talked about some things that have overlapped, like we've talked about blogging, we've talked about podcasting. So we've talked about different things. Sherry talked a little bit about ghostwriting. Well, once you get past this fit as a fiddle, which is all about health and wellness, we have a free meetup. It's all about passive income. We have a free meetup on long-term real estate. We have a free meetup on short-term real estate. And now I'm just now getting into mid-term real estate. Carmela, we need to talk. It's amazing. From there, build a better business. This is where we are today. We have a bloggers group. We also have a writers group. We have a great guest coming up this coming Tuesday. We have Connections Over Coffee, where Carmela is also my co-mod. Sherry is my co-mod on the Build a Better Business, but Carmela is my co-mod on the Connections Over Coffee. And then we also have a free meetup, and we're just launching a mastermind on how to actually create your 5-day masterclasses, challenges, or masterminds. And we are going to be actually doing funnels in that particular mastermind, because once folks decide which one of these they want to do, we're going to actually help them do their funnels. And so anyway, just wanted to let everybody know that all of those opportunities are out there. So any questions or comments this morning? Sherry, you're on mute. There you go.
When does that masterclass start?
The masterclass is, bear with me, I always have to look at my calendar.
The last Monday of the month.
Yeah, it's the fourth Monday of every month is the actual mastermind where we're getting down in the weeds creating it. But the fourth Friday is the free one. The fourth Friday is the free one where we're just introducing it to anybody that wants to check it out. But the fourth Monday is the actual mastermind itself, where we get down, into detail on how to put that masterclass together and then how to do your funnel. And we're going to be doing funnels in our website. We're not going to be using a ClickFunnels. Now, if you have that, that's fine. To create it, it's the same process, whether you're creating it in a ClickFunnels or whether you're creating it on your website, it's the same process. And you're like, again, with Teachable, which I shared, you're a little bit handicapped with what your actual platform will do.
And the first class rocked.
Yeah, it was a good one. Yeah.
So Teachable, basically, they have a set format, so you cannot like alter that. I mean, it's basically kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? They have, you know, basically.
It's kind of prefab. Because again, because Teachable, they have, you know, there might be, you know, thousands of schools on their platform. And so they want some continuity when students just visit Teachable and start looking for classes. See, so there's two ways to get into Teachable. You might be somebody that just wants to take a class and you don't know anybody that's on Teachable. You might just go to the Teachable website and start scrolling. So they want it all to look uniform to the student. But you might then be an educator like myself, where you want to put your school on Teachable. So their plan is that you have to conform to their layout so that their school looks uniform. Does that make sense?
It does, because I know doTERRA, you know, they have like something on Teachable for like some of the classes. So like, if you want to get a certificate with this, and I'm like, why does Kathy's looks, when I first went to yours, it's like, it looks so familiar. And I'm like, oh, maybe I've just been there before. Then I'm thinking, oh, wait a minute, it's my doTERRA, because sometimes they may offer like a deal on a class, and I've taken several different classes like within Teachable. So I was wondering.
And so they want their school as a Teachable platform to look uniform across the whole platform. So they make you conform to their layout. So their layout is kind of prefab, if you will. And you just plug your information into their blocks and it all looks the same. Different information, but the layout's the same. So that's where you have more freedom. If you're going to do a sales page, you have a lot more freedom to do that in your website or on one of those funnel type products. You can actually make it your own.
So Kathy, I put the link for the 5-day challenge for Wendy through Facebook. It's a Facebook link.
Okay.
On the page. I also put basically my funnel down there above that.
Okay.
And just a note that Thinkific is another course platform that you can use.
Right.
And you can use, if you do a Wix website, it has a course builder within Wix. I actually have a WordPress website, and WordPress plugin. I can get it out. But I am moving my platform to a community. And so they are going to be jumping from my main website over to a community. And that's where I'm eventually going to be housing all of my blogs, all of my courses, anything that's moving, all the moving parts are going to be within the community. And my website's basically going to be a landing page.
See, now I agree with Sherry. My community is actually on Teachable. And so all of my eBooks, all of my free courses, all of my videos, all of my actual courses, all of my masterminds, my masterclasses, everything, I house everything on Teachable. And my website just points to Teachable.
Yeah. So,
do you like WordPress, Sherry?
Yes, but I also have a tech guru in my presence. And that's one of the reasons why I went I closed my screen video for a minute, because he came in to ask me a question. So on premises, I have a tech guru. So I do have that little edge over some of you. But the community that I'm moving to is a little bit different than what Kathy is doing. Kathy, are you willing to let me share it quick?
Sure. Go ahead. Yep. We're all here to learn. That's what the whole point is.
So there are two networking programs out there. One is called Circle and one is called Mighty Networks. I've chosen Mighty Networks. So when you go to my homepage, the first thing you see in my community is this activity fee, which is all basically look down here and see what's new going on in activity. When we look at discovery, and it talks about like all the blog posts and things like that that I put up, it talks about who's online and who is been very active within the program. Here, what's nice about Mighty Networks is if somebody goes through and says, oh, here's Sabrina, I want to get to know her, they can actually strike up a conversation with her, which is not possible on a platform like Teachable. Correct. Or Thinkific. And that was one of the things I was looking for in my community. And then there's an about page. We are still building, so I don't have my cover link up there yet. We were still working on that. But my guru in the background was just asking me about something with the money pieces on here. Events, because I am like the host and stuff, I'm getting all of the events. So what's nice is once you have an event that is in the particular level of region that I'm in, you can click on this and then you can get it to go right onto your calendar. So I also have regions. I have three different regions. One of them is a very low cost, one's a middle road, and one's in a more expensive. Within those regions, they also have their own activity feed. So within there might be something that I only post in those other areas.
So you can actually build a sub-community within your community.
Yes.
Okay.
And then my courses, come on, click, are here. And then to get to the course, you actually have to join the plan that the course is contained in. So here it tells you a little bit about the course, but then you've got to buy where the course is. And then I have a store, and that actually takes you outside the Mighty Networks and takes you over to my store.
What store is, what platform is your store on?
I'm going to say WordPress because I think it's a WordPress plugin.
Okay.
You have to ask Michael those things.
Yeah. So I'm getting ready to create a store as well. Because I have folks that are, yeah.
So one of the things I'm primarily doing with my store is posting books that have to do with disabilities, but I'm also an unhackability coach, and that actually does fall into the disability category. It is a very good support for them. So I do have Carrie's unhackable book there, but the books that I'm putting on here from other authors are going to have something to do with education in general. I am not sure that having Kathy's collaborative book is the right, my store is the right place for it. But it's something I could very easily do. It was supposed to have gone up already. I am also have an affiliate with a course that's going to be done in August. It's supposed to be up there, but Michael got to sidetrack with something else, and I don't think it's going up on the store. So one thing that Kathy can do in Teachable and or Thinkific and some of the other platforms, Kartra is another one, that you can actually create affiliates. So if Debbie or Carmela wanted to advertise one of or all of Kathy's programs, Kathy could, and on the back end, set up an affiliate that you could actually get paid a percentage of the sale if Kathy was willing to do that.
I am headed that direction, Sherry. So thank you for that.
So that's one of the things that I'm doing with that other gentleman is I have an affiliate with him. I have an affiliate with another one. They just don't, they're not showing up. And that's, I think, because Michael's so busy with this other project he's working on.
Well, and again, I appreciate that you said that because I can actually show you real quick here. Here I have a resource page, which is kind of my store. And so on my resource page, this is right in my website. When you scroll down, see this right here is the 6 F's of real estate. And all the time when I have my mastermind group, they're like, oh my gosh, how do we do our Craigslist ad? Well, right there it is. And how do we do our open house checklist? Or how do we find the public record sites to double check, tenants? How do we write a lease agreement? And where do we find that 3-day eviction form? All of it is right here. And when you scroll down, see, then I have syndicate real estate investing. And here is where, if they click here, this is an affiliate. And this is what Sherry was talking about. This company has an affiliate link. So every time somebody taps through on my website, I get paid and they get $25 in bonus shares. And I get $25 in bonus shares every time they click through here. And then here is the guest house. And so here is Airbnb. They earn $40 every time they join to be a host. I earn $40 every time somebody clicks through on my website. And then Building a Better Business, which is the course we're in right now. And here is VistaPrint. Here is HostGator. Here is the Author Academy. Here is Author Wizards, PLR. All of these are affiliate links. I get paid every time somebody clicks through on any of my affiliate links. And so that's another way that I'm monetizing my business. So what Sherry is saying is that I could go into Teachable and I could be the provider of the affiliate link. And then you would have a resource page on your website. And anytime anybody clicked through or you sent somebody over to me, you would get paid for sending them over. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Kathy, mm-hmm. Can you scroll back down? Okay, stop. What's the difference between, wait a minute, maybe I read it wrong. PLR, go back down. And so what is broadcast email templates? What is that?
This is a company that I really liked all of the templates. It's 104 weeks, it's 2 years worth of email content all planned out for you. And because if you want to start doing like a newsletter or a marketing plan, sometimes you're like, what am I going to talk about this week? What am I going to post? And these were ready made for you emails. And wow. So you can actually subscribe to this and they drop it right into your inbox. So it's a great solution to write and post emails consistently. And then, so over 2 years, your people aren't going to remember what you sent them 2 years ago. So you could actually, with it being a 2-year program, you actually could just start over and just go through it every 2 years. And you would never have to create your own email post.
Have you used it?
Yes. Yes.
And how do you like it?
I do like it, but I find that sometimes the post aren't specific enough for me, because remember, they're trying to appeal to all audiences and all businesses. So I find that the posts are a little too generic for me. And so oftentimes, if I'm sending it out just to my real estate investors, there's nothing in there that's just for real estate investors. So I have a tendency I've moved away from it and started writing more my own now that I'm more comfortable with writing. But it was a great way to get started.
Ah. And then the next one is what?
This one? This is live streams. If you want to do live streaming, you can use Zoom, but you can also use StreamYard.
Okay, great.
What's nice about StreamYard is you can do to multiple locations at one time. Unlike Zoom, where you're kind of forced into one location, StreamYard will let you do all 6 locations at one time.
Or you can do Facebook, YouTube, LinkedIn. You can do you can stream to all of those. And the other thing that I like is that if you've noticed on a Zoom call, only the person that's speaking pops up when you're watching the replay. It's hard to get, if you're interviewing two people, it's hard to keep both of them on the screen. Have you noticed that, Debbie, when you do your fireside chat with Debbie Marks, when you watch the replay, when you talk, you pop up. And then when the person answers, they pop up. And we've all gotten used to that. But with StreamYard, they have an option where it keeps both people right there on the screen together, side by side.
Mm-hmm. It
makes it feel like you're having a conversation.
Which is nice. Our church does that. And they wanted me to head that up. I'm like, I'm doing too much now. So, but it's so easy because I don't even have to be on site. So, and then I can send that person the link and all they have to do is click on and whatnot. And I'm like, it's easier than doing a sound system, you know?
It's true.
Give me the tough stuff. I don't want anything easy.
I get it. And Carrie has interviewed me several times on StreamYard. And of course, we weren't in the same room together at all. But it came out on the video like we were sitting in the same room together.
And the other thing about StreamYard is you can have up to 6 people like in a waiting room and they can actually see one another. But the general public can't see the waiting room and you can bring them up and down or share a screen very easily by just clicking buttons in StreamYard.
So it's a great platform. Yeah, it really is a great little platform. So anyway, that's why it's on here as an affiliate, because every time you join through my affiliate link, you get a $10 credit and I get a $10 credit.
Okay. Well, thank you for sharing those three, the difference.
Yeah. So anyway, the point is that find other ways that you can monetize what you're doing. And so having a store where Sherry's got I don't have my author's page yet, but my book is going to be on my author's page, you know, the Speak, Lead, and Impact. And then I already have written several eBooks. And so I am now, it's on my checklist to create an author's page.
And the other thing that you want to do is the book that you wrote the foreword for, you want to also have that on that page too.
Yes.
Yes. But that book
I've written the foreword to two books.
Which is the second one?
The second one was Eric Pearson, our friend from Igniting Souls. I have it right here if I can get it out without cracking my desk. I've got all these files here. It is called, I got to get it in front of me, What's Cooking?
Oh.
I've got my blur on, so I got to get it right where it doesn't blur. It's called What's Cooking by Eric Pearson. And he asked me, it says, Feeding the Heart and Soul One Meal at a Time. It's really a great little read, and it's all autographed inside. Again, I've got my blur on. And then he dedicated it to his son, who he lost. And then once you get inside past a couple of testimonials, it has the foreword from me, which is, you know, quite exciting that he asked me to do that. So I was like, yay! And
as writing a foreword, your name should be on Amazon under his, under that book, because anybody who writes the foreword has a section when you're setting up your profile for the book, that anybody who wrote the foreword has their own section. So you should actually have an Amazon Central link already with your name.
I have to check that out. So does it have a little bio of me is there a spot for that?
You're supposed to have been able to put a bio up, but maybe Eric didn't do that.
Okay.
Because he didn't have one, but you should be able to. So right, my illustrator, the girl I did the foreword, and my editor all were available. I could have as many of those people on there as I wanted.
What's Eric's last name?
Pearson.
Pearson.
P-E-A-R-S-O-N. And this is his second book through Carrie.
Oh.
He wrote one before he met Carrie, and then he wrote one when we all met at the conference. And then this is his book that he just kind of did on his own. But all he had to do, like Sherry said, was just buy the ISBN number. Because nice. he had all the information. So that's the advantage of a publisher like Carrie, is that once you get the know-how, he's taught you how to fish instead of giving you a fish. You go with Patricia, she's giving you a fish. You haven't been taught how to fish. She's just giving you the fish. And it's a great shortcut to get published. But if you want to do it again, you either have to keep jumping on the train again, or you have to figure it out or go with someone like Carrie that teaches you how to fish. So
I like that.
There's
that's pros a good and cons. Analogy.
Yeah, there's pros and cons both ways. And so I just decided that I just needed somebody to give me a fish this time.
That's okay.
You didn't have time to cook it. You just wanted it brought to you.
yeah. Just
plate and ready to eat.
Yeah, just put it on the plate and make it ready. I've got too much going on. So. Good for you, Sherry. She sent me a little private message. She's getting some messages from a very important person.
Oh.
Well, this has been a lot of fun. I hope I brought value. I hope that you've seen how it kind of all fits together. You don't have to spend a lot of money. I know if you've just got a basic website, you can create your funnel right there in your website. You can create your author pages if you've got some eBooks. And I encourage you, even if you don't have an eBook on Amazon, if you publish an eBook just on a PDF, on a Word document, you can put a cover on that and make it an eBook over on your website. And over in, like, I have eBooks in my Teachable, and all it is a PDF.
And you can just put it up on Amazon for 99 cents.
Right.
And they will give you an Amazon ISBN.
Right.
Yeah, really. Didn't know that.
Yep. So it's super, super easy. Everybody can be published. I have not physically published my eBooks. They're just on my website and on my Teachable. But like Sherry said, I could put them up on Amazon, and all of that adds. But what you want to remember, and in our the lane that I have called Ohio Writers Guild, where we learn to write from anywhere in the world. We had a publisher on that presented the other day, and she said, do not put something out on your website or up in a little ebook on Amazon if you intend on turning it into a full-blown book later on, because she said you can't publish it twice.
As long as you change 10% of the material, you can reuse it.
Yeah, you can reuse it, but you don't want to, I guess you don't want to muddy your book content. If you are really going for a bestseller and you've got this book in your head, don't start publishing parts and pieces of it out early, because it takes away from your book when you're ready to actually launch.
Gotcha.
So that was her advice. She said, we all have a tendency, because we've written a great chapter and we think, oh, I could go ahead and make that into an ebook. And then later you want to put it over into your actual book. And she said, and now it's already been published. And a traditional publisher won't publish that if you want to go traditional. So it does limit you then to the Carries and Patricias of the world, because a traditional publisher won't pick that up. If they can find it anywhere on the internet that it's been published before, they won't pick it up, any piece of it.
Well, thanks. So this has been great today.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone. We ran over a little bit, but it's been great information. Again, a couple of false starts with our Zoom hackers, but hey, improv, roll with it.
That's right. That's right.
Well, save the chat, and that way you have those links for later.
Yes, I will save the chat. Okay.
Did that. Thank you.
All right. Talk to everybody later. Bye.
Bye. Bye.